We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
The UPMC McGee Women's Hospital in Central Pennsylvania has been recognized for its success in supporting Black maternal health. And this recognition comes as they are achieving excellence in cesarean sections and unexpected newborn complications among its Black patients. And today on The Spark, we have with us Dr. Cherie Livingston from UPMC joining us to give us the game, as I like to say, on all of the great things that are happening at UPMC McGee Women's Hospital in Central Pennsylvania. How are you doing today, Dr. Livingston?
I'm doing well, Marquise. Thanks for having me. It's a wonderful day.
Yes, yes, it is. It is my pleasure. So first and foremost, let me just start off with this. How are you feeling after receiving this recognition? Because this is kind of a big deal.
It's a very big deal. I'm very proud of the work that we're doing here at UPMC McGee regarding making birth safe for all birthing people, but specifically birthing people of color, and more specifically, Black birthing people.
So why is this important? Why is having this, you know, designations with Black patients, Black women giving birth, why is it important?
It's very important. Every birthing person deserves the right to have the experience that they want, a safe birthing experience, and to enter the hospital and leave the hospital, or enter the birthing center and leave the birthing center, and go home to their families and go home to their communities and raise their children in the way that they see fit. Mm-hmm. That's what all people deserve. Now, we know that just naturally, physiologic things can happen during pregnancy, and there can be abnormal or bad things that happen. But when they happen disproportionately or too often, and specifically higher incidences in birthing people of color, that's when we have to say what's happening and examine the data and look to prevent preventable death.
Now this is going to sound like a dumb question here, but I have to ask it. We are in a first world country. So why is there such an issue with Black and brown women giving birth?
Yeah, that question comes up a lot because the World Health Organization examines maternal mortality ratios, and the maternal mortality ratio is the number of maternal deaths over live births, and that ratio is over 100,000. And so, for example, many years ago, we were 17 over 100,000, and now that number has increased to about 21 per 100,000. And for Black women nationally, it's 55 per 100,000.
Oh my gosh.
So Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in childbirth than white birthing people. And that is concerning because of the disproportionately higher rates. And what lies at the core of racial health disparities is systemic and structural racism. And so we can pinpoint that and address it so that we can eliminate and decrease as much maternal morbidity and mortality that's preventable. And most of it is. Most pregnancy-related deaths, 90% of them, are preventable.
Wow.
And when we talk about this, we have to really dissect it And look for areas of opportunity to provide birthing people with a safe experience. And morbidity and mortality are two different things. Fortunately, mortality, which is death, does not occur that often, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But for every one death, there are 100 morbid events. Morbid meaning near-death experiences. Mm. So for example, hemorrhage or stroke, cardiovascular disease. And when I talk about health disparities, a birth that you have to recover from, mm-hmm. or birth that traumatized you, I think that that falls into the category of morbidity. And so we have to look at the morbid events just as much as we're looking at the deaths, so that we can prevent the morbidity and thereby prevent death.
Mm. So what specific measures has UPMC McGee Women's Hospital in Central Pennsylvania taken to support Black maternal health?
UPMC McGee is listening to the community. Mm. That's the most important thing any organization can do, is not seek to tell the community what to do, but look at them, listen to them, and make them part of the decision-making. And UPMC has done that very well. And recruiting healthcare providers like myself, who have a particular interest in reducing maternal morbidity and mortality, specifically in Black birthing people. We started the UPMC Health Equity Now Committee in April of 2021. We're now entering our fourth year of the UPMC Health Equity Now Committee. And our mission at UPMC Health Equity Now is to decrease maternal morbidity and mortality in racially and ethnically diverse populations and people delivering in UPMC birthing hospitals. Mm. And we take that very seriously. We honor Black Maternal Health Week, which occurs every year between April 11th and April 17th. We just celebrated Black Maternal Health Week. This was our fourth annual Black Maternal Health Week. We celebrated it in 21, 22, 23, and now 24. And we at UPMC recognize that Black Maternal Health Week is not 1 week. Mm. It is a week where we increase awareness and we amplify the voices of Black birthing people and all birthing people. However, we charge ourselves with the actionable items to say, what can we do every day of the year to make birth safe? Mm. How can we listen to people and examine what's happening on our labor and delivery units on a day-to-day basis, and work to promote policies that improve maternal health?
So what is the significance then of Black Maternal Health Week? I'm glad you brought that up. So what is the significance of it?
Black Maternal Health Week is a time for the nation to examine Black birth, to examine and center the lives of Black birthing people. The goal is to amplify the voices of Black birthing people, listen to them, listen to their experiences. But we want to increase awareness about the disproportionate number of maternal morbidity and mortality in Black birthing people, and increase access to affordable health care for Black birthing people. And by doing that, we solicit organizations like UPMC, and just organizations across the board nationally, to really tune in to what's happening with Black birthing people. And this week really is a time to examine what's happening on a microscopic level, but also on a macroscopic level throughout our country. And as I said before, create actionable items where we can improve birth for all birthing people, but again, specifically and intentionally for Black birthing people.
So with this recognition then, do you feel as though that that the powers that be, so to speak, are tuning in and they are listening?
They are listening. I'm department chair at UPMC Lititz, and I have a voice, and I have a stand on which people listen. They listen to what I say. They listen to what team members that I work with say, because they know that we're boots on the ground. Mm. We're engaging patients face to face, listening to them, listening to things that they feel are good about our organization and things that they feel have room for improvement. And so by having us be the boots on the ground, the listening ears to the people, we can move those voices up and make change from within.
So what impact does this recognition have on the broader conversation then surrounding maternal health care disparities?
So I think it has a huge impact. I think that the most important thing is it shows the community that we care. It shows the community that we're working from the inside out and the outside in to improve maternal health. And so I think other organizations can take lead and look at what we're doing and say, well, if this organization can gain this stature, then what is it that we can do? So we can set a standard. And I think that it is extremely important for those working in our institutions to be proud of this designation so that they can carry it forth in their day-to-day work.
And how does UPMC McGee Women's Hospital in Central Pennsylvania collaborate with community organizations to address these maternal health challenges?
Oh, boy. I don't know if you can see the smile on my face, but UPMC really engages the community. If, for example, they support doula programs, we have a diversifying doula initiative, and UPMC Pinnacle Foundation supports it wholeheartedly. So they're really putting their weight where it can be impactful with small, medium, and large community organizations that are working to have a positive impact. So UPMC, just by supporting community organizations that are doing the work, that's how we can also help to improve, because no one person, no one entity, no one doula or midwife or obstetrician can do it alone. But by supporting these small, medium, and large community based organizations, you're helping to support resources that we know are effective. Studies show that when patients have doula care, for example, their health outcomes are improved. There's less C-sections. So we have doulas at UPMC Lititz, at UPMC Harrisburg, as well as UPMC McGee. So if you have doula care, you're less likely to end up with a C-section, more likely to end up with a vaginal birth, more likely to breastfeed at time of discharge and 4 and 8 weeks post-discharge, and less likely to have postpartum depression, which, according to some very recent data that came out, the number one cause for pregnancy-associated mortality and pregnancy-associated deaths was mental health-related. People are having a time, unfortunately, with depression and anxiety, and it's impacting people both inside of pregnancy, postpartum, and interpregnancy. So it's an issue that needs to be addressed. And if we can strengthen the perinatal workforce, we can improve health for the patient, but also the family, and then the community.
I will say this. I am a fan and advocate for doulas. For my first one, for the first 6 months of the pregnancy, before I had to get up and leave and be a news reporter, we had a doula when we were living in Lancaster. And the doula, she was great with me. You know, there was information that she would let me know during the sessions. You know, she would always ask where dad's at. And it was just this great, great relationship that, like, when it came down to the day, the day of, the big day, you know, I felt like I was extra prepared. And I couldn't imagine, you know, those extra 3 months I would have got how more prepared I would have been. So always have been a fan of doulas and just the work that they do, because it is essential. Our guest today is the department chair of the OBGYN division of UPMC Lititz and also the co-chair of UPMC Health Equity Now Committee, Dr. Cherie Livingston. And she's giving us some great information and details on the UPMC McGee Women's Hospital's impact on Central Pennsylvania. And my next question here is, how does UPMC McGee Women's Hospital in Central Pennsylvania ensure culturally competent care for Black mothers?
UPMC is doing an excellent job of addressing health outcomes for Black birthing people. The way we sort of address it is, you must address social determinants of health, and we are doing just that. All of our patients are asked about social determinants of health. So, for example, social determinants of health are where one lives, what they eat, where they can exercise, where they thrive, if they have access to affordable health care, what type of education they have access to. These are all important factors, and we focus in on them when a patient enters into our hospital or office setting. These questions should be asked just like name, date of birth, address, and cell phone numbers, because 10 to 20% of health outcomes are determined by what I as a healthcare provider do. 50% of health, 50% of health outcomes are determined by social determinants of health.
Wow.
So we must focus in on social determinants of health so that we can address real issues that are impacting patients, because what helps them to be, what helps patients be their healthiest self is having them walk into a pregnancy or enter into a pregnancy as healthy as they can be, right, for them, respectively. Seeing them as an individual, empathizing with who they are, and understanding the human that sits on the other side of the room. It's so important. And so I focus in on addressing social determinants of health, because nothing good can happen until we do just that. And we divide it into addressing it downstream, midstream, and upstream. So for example, you know, as far as like what we need to do from a downstream perspective, focusing on individual healthcare needs. And from a midstream perspective, focusing on individual social needs. And then upstream, if we, and with, at UPMC, we break it down this way so that we can understand at each level we can intervene. So downstream, individual healthcare needs, midstream, individual social needs, and upstream, addressing things like structural racism, improving community and conditions. So that's what we can do from a downstream, midstream, and upstream perspective. And okay, now we know what we need to do. How do we do that? And in that same manner, from a downstream perspective, we can increase access to affordable healthcare. From a midstream perspective, we can make it equitable, make it easy to deliver good care and difficult to deliver bad care. And that's where standardized practice comes in. And then from an upstream standpoint, address whole of government. You know, how can we change entire communities? How can we enhance the infrastructure of organizations? So that's how we address it from a downstream, midstream, and upstream perspective, and looking at what we need to do and how we need to do it.
Now, my next question here, I do want to ask about what are the social determinants of health. But before I get to that, does UPMC McGee Women's Hospital undertake any initiatives right now? Are there any current initiatives that are happening right now currently that the audience should know about?
Yes. I mean, we do stuff on a day-to-day basis. So, short term, we're promoting person-centered care in all of our birthing hospitals where we center the patient. We promote safe medical care. And we want to we encourage our patients to be advocates for themselves, right? So that's something that we do at UPMC hospitals on a day-to-day basis. And then long term, we prioritize health equity. So we are bringing UPMC health equity now to all of our birthing hospitals. We have 80 plus members from all sectors, from the community, doulas, midwives, doctors, hospital administrators from all of our birthing hospitals are represented in UPMC Health Equity now. We have a Birth Circles program, which is a doula program out at in Pittsburgh, and we're bringing the Birth Circles program to our other birthing hospitals. And we also are adopting and have adopted and continue to implement standardized practices. So we're making it easy to deliver standard care from a hemorrhage standpoint, so that if a patient is hemorrhaging, we all do the same thing every time, so that there's readiness and we're prepared to intervene. That's how you take safe care of people when you disseminate best practices. So we do these things on a day-to-day basis. And at UPMC, we are addressing systemic and structural racism. We have events that occur where we want to center the people who are being impacted by systemic and structural racism. We have a Kneel Against Racism that Kneel Against Injustice and Kneel Against Racism that occurs at our hospital. So on Friday, May 24th, we're recognizing the importance of addressing and dismantling systemic and structural racism. So we are doing things on a day-to-day basis from a, like I said before, microscopic and macroscopic level to address systemic and structural racism.
With these social determinants of health, you mentioned that a couple times, and I don't want our audience to get lost in the sauce, so to speak, and not know what these social determinants are. So, can you tell us what are some of these social determinants of health?
Social determinants of health are factors that impact people's health. So, for example, where they live, the neighborhoods that they live in, what foods do they eat? What healthy foods do they have access to? In marginalized communities, we see bodegas on every corner. And unfortunately, within those bodegas live foods that are unhealthy. We see highly processed foods, drinks with high sugar contents, and it's more complicated than that. I do not call these bodegas, which I'm sure the people in them want to provide the neighborhoods with the best food, but I don't call them food deserts. I don't call these areas food deserts. I call it food apartheid because there is distribution of healthy foods in some neighborhoods and distribution of healthy foods away from certain neighborhoods. And so that's strategic. And I think by calling it out, we can undo that and we can ensure that healthy foods get to all neighborhoods. And then education is part of social determinants of health. Where people are educated, the types of education that they're receiving, access to affordable health care, all of these determine one's health. And these are social factors that play a role. When patients are sitting in front of me in the office on the labor and delivery suite, I have to think of three things. I have to think of their educational background, which obviously has an impact on their employment. So, what's their employment? And then, thirdly, their economic status. What's their financial situation like? Do they have access to just standard affordable living? And if they don't, I need to know that so that I can meet them where they're at. And that's where empathy comes in. So we must empathize with people first, understand them as human, and then dissect the social determinants of health, who this person is, so that then I can render good care, because healthcare is more than just the medicine and the medication. It's the person. It's their surrounding. It's their environment. And all of that plays a huge role.
So my final question here, Dr. Livingston, again, thank you so much for joining us on The Spark today. With this designation now, where does the discussion on healthcare and healthcare equity go from here?
Where it goes from here is really centering birthing people and saying, what is it that we can do to make birth better? I am so hopeful that we can meet the community where they're at, bring joy back into birth. And so I think we focus on improving health, diversifying the perinatal workforce, which we know who is doing the caring matters. And so if UPMC and other organizations can diversify medicine, meet people where they're at, understand that who is doing the caring matters, I think we can really bring back joy into birth.
Who is doing the caring matters? Oh man, if that's not a statement that needs to be put on a billboard, that really stuck with me. Dr. L, I want to thank you again for joining us on The Spark and just giving us all these great details on this designation. So what's next for yourself before we head on out?
So some really amazing things are happening. I'm joining up with some doulas in a couple hours here, and we're going to continue to really evaluate how we can improve health for birthing people in central Pennsylvania. We have a lot of good things happening in the Lancaster area, Harrisburg, York. We're really working to listen to the community, engage the community, and do some great things with doulas and midwives and nurses. Some good things happening, Marquise.
I believe it. And as my grandmother would say, you're doing good work. You're doing good work. Thanks again for joining us.